Hey there, and welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're tackling something, well, super relevant, I think, to a lot of our listeners. The wild world of young adult dating in 2024. Forget those rom-com cliches because we've got sociological analyses, psychological studies. We even dug up some philosophical think pieces for this one.
I bet
And
he did.
trust me, the reality is way more interesting.
Absolutely.
Get ready for some aha moments. You might never swipe right the same way again.
I think that's true. And it's not just about trends, you know? It's really about how an entire generation is experiencing love and relationships in ways that are totally different from anything we've seen before.
Totally. Okay, so first things first, dating apps. They're not just a tool for young adults anymore. They are the dating scene. Like, literally, their entire romantic ecosystem exists in the digital world.
It's
I
true.
read one study that found 83% of 18 to 29-year-olds have used a dating app. That's huge.
That's a significant majority. And it creates this fascinating paradox. On the one hand, young people are hyper-connected, constantly interacting online. But on the other hand, they're reporting these incredibly high levels of loneliness. So is it real connection or just this illusion of it?
That's a great
One
question.
of the sources we looked at called it the illusion of intimacy.
Interesting.
You feel connected, but it's often superficial because online interaction just lacks the depth of in-person connection.
Whoa, the illusion of intimacy. That's deep. It makes you think about the whole idea of this, like, digital mask we build on dating profiles. It's like creating this romantic avatar of ourselves, part truth, part aspiration, the best angles, the wittiest bio, the carefully curated interests.
Exactly. And this creates a real tension for young people because they feel this pressure to be both curated and authentic. But how do you do that? What does authenticity even mean in a digital world where everyone's presenting a carefully edited version of themselves?
It's like how much filtering is too much filtering. It's a tough balance to strike, for sure. But even beyond the whole image thing, there's this whole economic backdrop to dating that we can't ignore. One of the reports we have here lays it all out. Student debt is at an all-time high. The job market's brutal. And those traditional milestones like owning a home, they're getting pushed further and further out of reach.
Yeah, and that's not just background noise. That's actually shaping how young people think about love and relationships.
That makes sense.
You know, they're not just looking for someone who makes their heart flutter. They're also looking for someone who's financially stable, someone who can help them navigate this increasingly challenging world. They're seeing partners as potential economic partners too, which is fascinating.
So it's like love in the time of late stage capitalism, but like, okay, let's get a little less serious for a second and talk about texting. I mean, I know we all use it, but the way young adults use texting and dating is like its own language, a complex code full of emojis, strategic response times, and of course, the dreaded ghosting.
Oh, yeah. All that game playing can create a ton of anxiety.
For sure.
I mean, is it really communication if it's more about performance than actual meaning?
That's so true.
One of the sources we read, a psychologist specializing in youth and technology, pointed out that this can actually lead to something called emotional compartmentalization.
Emotional compartmentalization. What does that even mean?
Think of it like learning to separate your digital interactions from your genuine emotional investment. You'll like someone, but you're holding back from getting too attached because the whole thing feels so uncertain, so potentially fleeting. It's almost like a form of self-preservation.
So they're protecting themselves from getting hurt, but are they also missing out on real connection because of it? It's like a double-edged sword, right?
Exactly.
But speaking of getting hurt, we have to talk about the impact all of this is having on mental health. The research here is pretty clear. There's a link between frequent dating app use and increased anxiety and self-doubt.
One study we looked at found that frequent dating app users were 25% more likely to report symptoms of anxiety compared to non-users. And it's not just the apps themselves, it's the culture they foster.
The culture.
Yeah, the constant comparison, the competition, the feeling that you're being judged and ranked against countless other people. That can have a devastating impact on self-esteem, especially for young adults who are already navigating so much uncertainty. They start to question their worth, their attractiveness, their lovability.
Wow, that's heavy stuff. It really makes you think about the responsibility these apps have too, right?
Absolutely.
But hey, it's not all doom and gloom. There are some really positive shifts happening as well. I was reading about how young people are basically tossing out traditional relationship models and rewriting the rules of romance.
I love that. What's so fascinating is they're asking, what the Tive relationships could be about mutual development, not just hitting milestones.
That's a great question.
One source interviewed several young couples who are choosing non-traditional living arrangements or delaying marriage to focus on personal and career growth. They see it as a way to build a stronger foundation for a long-term relationship.
Yeah. So it's not just about finding the one anymore. It's about finding someone who helps you become a better you. That's actually a pretty awesome shift in thinking. But then there's this whole dating by algorithm thing that feels a bit like a Black Mirror episode. I mean, can you really boil love down to data points?
Right. It raises an important question about how much power we want to give these algorithms.
Yeah.
They're powerful tools. But should we let them be the gatekeepers to our hearts? Are we becoming so reliant on data that we're forgetting to trust our own instincts, our own intuition? It makes you wonder.
And then there's the whole future of dating thing. Some sources are predicting even more tech integration, things like virtual reality romance, even more personalized matchmaking algorithms.
It's a brave new world out there, that's for sure. But no matter how advanced the technology gets, it all comes back to human connection. We're social creatures. Wired for intimacy and belonging.
Right.
So the question is, how can we use these tools in a way that enhances connection rather than replacing it?
So it's like this huge question mark hanging over the whole thing, right? All this tech, all this change. And in the middle of it all are these young adults trying to figure out love, relationships, and who they are in this crazy digital world.
Exactly. And that brings us to another point our sources raise. The whole idea of identity flexibility.
Okay. To break that down for us, identity flexibility, what does that even mean?
Think of it like trying on different hats online. You might present a slightly different version of yourself on each platform, depending on the audience and the image you're trying to project. It's a way of exploring different facets of your personality. But it can also make it harder to figure out who you truly are.
So it's like you're trying to figure out who you are in this vast digital landscape, but the stakes feel super high. Every interaction, every swipe, every message is loaded with meaning and potential judgment.
Right. And that feeds into another challenge, the anxiety of infinite choice.
Oh, yeah.
With so many potential partners available at their fingertips, young adults are experiencing decision paralysis.
Yeah.
A constant fear of missing out and a reduced motivation to commit.
It's like that saying, too much of a good thing. One of the articles we read compared it to standing in a giant cereal aisle, so overwhelmed by the options that you can't even decide which one to pick.
Exactly. And, you know, this actually ties back to the economic realities we were talking about earlier.
Oh, right.
Young people aren't just looking for love.
Yeah.
They're also looking for stability and partnership in a world that feels increasingly precarious.
It's not just about finding someone who makes you laugh. It's about finding someone who can help you pay the bills. Build a life, weather the storms.
Right. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a sign of adaptability.
Yeah.
Of recognizing the realities of their world. But it does add another layer of complexity to an already complicated dating landscape. And then there's the whole issue of communication, which has become incredibly nuanced and often anxiety-provoking in the digital age.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. It's like every little thing, the timing of a text, the choice of emoji, even those dreaded read receipts carries so much weight. One minute you're analyzing whether a single laughing emoji means they're actually amused or just being polite. The next minute you're spiraling because they left you on read for 2 hours. It's exhausting.
It's like this delicate dance where every step is filled with potential misinterpretations and unintended consequences.
Yeah.
And then there's ghosting, which has become the ultimate communication breakdown. One of the sources, a sociologist, described it as the digital equivalent of the silent treatment.
But it feels even worse than the silent treatment, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so sudden, so absolute, and often so perplexing. You're left wondering what you did wrong, what happened. Without any answers or closure, it can really mess with your head.
Absolutely. And I think ghosting speaks to a larger trend, our sources pointed out, the increasing difficulty of having honest, vulnerable conversations.
Yeah.
We're so used to curating our online personas that we often forget how to simply be ourselves. Even with people we're supposed to be close to.
So it's like we're losing the ability to have those real, raw, difficult conversations.
Yeah.
That are essential for any kind of genuine connection.
Right. And all of this takes a toll on mental health.
Yeah.
Our sources were very clear about the link between this hyper-connected, yet often emotionally shallow dating culture and increased rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness among young people.
One of the psychologists we read even used the term digital burnout. to describe the exhaustion and disillusionment many young people are feeling from trying to navigate this constantly on, highly curated, and often emotionally confusing digital world.
It's like they're constantly performing, trying to present the perfect version of themselves, and it's exhausting. They're yearning for authenticity, for genuine connection, but they're not always sure how to find it in a world where everything feels so filtered and superficial.
Yeah. And it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking there's something wrong with you if you're not finding love or happiness in this seemingly perfect, curated online world.
Right. But the problem isn't with them. It's with a system that often prioritizes image over substance, quantity over quality, and instant gratification over genuine connection.
So how do we fix it? I mean, it's easy to get overwhelmed by all this and feel like there's no hope for finding love in the digital age, but I have to believe there's a way to navigate this without losing our minds, our hearts, or our sense of self.
I think there is too, and honestly, a lot of young people are already leading the way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Remember how we talked about how they're rewriting the rules of romance? They're challenging traditional gender roles, rejecting outdated relationship scripts, and prioritizing personal growth over societal expectations.
Yeah, and instead of just accepting the way things are, they're creating new ways to connect, to communicate, to build relationships that feel more authentic and fulfilling. One of the articles you read called them digital natives with analog hearts.
I love that. They're fluent in the language of technology, but they still crave the depth and meaning of real human connection. And it's not just about romantic relationships. It's about all relationships, friendships, family, community. They're recognizing the importance of belonging, of finding their tribe in a world that can often feel isolating and overwhelming.
It's like this generation is holding this tension between the digital and the analog, between the virtual and the real, between the curated and the authentic. They're figuring out how to navigate this new world. And in the process, they're showing us all a new way to be human.
Exactly. And that's where the conversation gets really interesting, because it's not just about adapting to the current landscape. It's about actively shaping the future of love and relationships.
Okay, so we've talked about all the challenges, but what does that actually look like? What can young people and all of us really do to shape a healthier, more meaningful future for love and connection in this digital age?
One of the things our sources highlighted is the importance of emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence?
Yes. It's about developing the skills to understand and manage your own emotions, as well as being attuned to the emotions of others. And it's not just about romantic relationships. It's crucial for all kinds of relationships, friendships, family, even work relationships.
So emotional intelligence is like this superpower for building better relationships.
Exactly. It's about being able to communicate effectively, to empathize with others, to navigate conflict constructively, and to build trust and intimacy. These are skills that can be learned and developed, and they make a huge difference in the quality of our relationships, both romantic and otherwise.
I can see that. But how do we actually cultivate emotional intelligence? It sounds kind of abstract.
Well, it starts with self-awareness. Paying attention to your own emotions, understanding what triggers them, and learning how to regulate them. It also involves developing empathy, the ability to understand and share the feelings of others.
So it's about tuning in to both our own emotions and the emotions of those around us. I can see how that would be helpful in navigating the complexities of relationships, especially in this digital age where things can feel so impersonal.
Absolutely. And it's also about learning how to communicate effectively, both online and offline. It's about being able to express your needs and boundaries clearly, to listen actively to others, and to resolve conflicts in a way that strengthens relationships rather than tearing them down.
That makes so much sense. But let's be real, developing emotional intelligence takes work, right? It's not something that happens overnight.
You're right, it does take effort. But it's an investment that pays off in every area of your life. One of the sources we read, a relationship therapist, compared emotional intelligence to a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Okay, so it's like a workout for your emotions. I like that analogy. But it makes me think about how much emphasis is being placed on emotional intelligence these days. Why is it suddenly such a big deal?
I think it's because we're realizing that emotional intelligence is essential for navigating the complexities of modern life. It's not just about having a high IQ. It's about being able to manage our emotions, build strong relationships, and make sound decisions, especially in a world that's constantly changing and full of challenges.
And that brings us back to the big question we started with. What do you want the future of love to look like? Because the answer to the question isn't just about finding the perfect partner or mastering the art of online dating. It's about who we want to be and what kind of world we want to create.
I think that's beautifully said. The future of love isn't just about algorithms and swiping left or right. It's about connection, compassion, empathy, and the willingness to be vulnerable and authentic, both online and offline.